message is an act of faith, an act of faith. Amen. So my goal for this morning is for us to pray. That is my goal. But I feel like before we pray, we have to get to the place where we actually believe what we're praying for, right? Because sometimes we can pray just because we know to pray, but we're kind of guessing, we're kind of begging God, we're kind of just timidly speaking to him, right? When we know that the scripture says that we must come boldly, and we must also believe that he is a rewarder of them that seek him, right? So this morning, we're going to be talking about the story of the paralytic man that is found in Luke chapter 5. But before we go there, I want to read a couple verses from Mark 2. And in Mark 2, it says this: "And he entered again into the city of Capernaum after a few days. And it was heard that he was at home. And many were gathered, so that there was no longer room, not even at the door. And he spoke to them the word." So in Mark chapter 2, this is 1 year into the ministry of Jesus, and his fame was being widespread. So at this point, right, Jesus had turned water into wine. Jesus had healed Peter's mom. Jesus had also healed a leper and cast out a demon from a man. So this is about 1 year into his ministry. And at this time, Jesus's fame was growing, right? So this is, in a sense, his coming home, right? And many were gathered there to hear him speak. And my question to you guys this morning is, who were the many? So if you know your Bible, if you know the Gospels, right, Mark might tell a story and give you A, B, C, but then Luke will give you D, E, F, right? So turn with me to Luke chapter 5. And in Luke 5, verse 17, we will see who were the many that were gathered. So stay with me this morning, because truly I want us to get to a place where when we do pray, we actually believe what we're praying for. So Luke 5, verse 17 says this: "And on one of those days, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." So we see here that at the homecoming of Jesus, you had the who is who of that day gathered, and they were ready to hear what Jesus had to say. You had on one hand the Pharisees, right, who are the religious leaders of that day. And then you had the scribes, who are the men who knew the law, who practiced the law, who even wrote down more laws, right? So by the naked eye, this meeting that Jesus was about to have looked good, right? You had the who's who, you had a crowd, you had everything that everybody, whoever stands on a stage, wants to have, right? But the book of Luke mentions a special guest that was there. And it says, "And the power of the Lord was with him to heal," right? So by the naked eye, all you saw was people, right? But by the Spirit, Luke is saying that no, the very Holy Spirit, the very power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal them. And how often we can come to church and see all the nice things, the nice stage, the nice keyboard, the speaker on stage, see our friends, but we miss the very thing that is there for us. We miss the very power of the Lord that is there for us. Because the scripture says this, right? And this is just me kind of telling you what the scripture says. The power of the Lord was not due to the size of the crowd. The power of the Lord was not with the Pharisees and the scribes, right? So don't look at me, right? The power of the Lord is not with the man on the stage. The power of the Lord was with him, was with Jesus, right? So when we come to church, we need to be looking at at him, looking for him, not looking at somebody on stage who is acting like they are better than you to kind of lead you into something that you might even be skeptical of yourself. So the power of the Lord was with Jesus. And the power of the Lord came with a purpose. It came with a purpose, with an expectation. It came to heal. So, you know, I'm sure if you've been saved 5, 10 years, you've been to churches where the power of the Lord is moving, but it's a lot of theatrics. It's a lot of signs and wonders and things that are happening, but the truth is anybody truly being healed here? Is anything life-changing truly happening here? Because if you read the scripture closely, never once, and I hope this is true, but never once was somebody healed and then what they were healed of came back, right? When Jesus healed somebody, they were healed for good, right? And sometimes he just spoke a word. He did not even have to touch him, take off his coat and, you know, fling it at them. He just spoke a word, and that was that, right? So the power of the Lord was with him. It wasn't with anybody else. And as I was studying this scripture this week, this jumped out at me. The people that were there did not pray for the power. The power was already there, right? See, sometimes, you know, so I've been in a place of just seeking the Lord, and my heart is, Lord, I don't want to be just someone that tells stories on stage. I actually want to walk in the signs and the gifts and all those things. Like, I want to preach your word as it is, but as Christ did, I want to teach and do, right? But the thing is that I found myself praying, Lord, give me power, give me power. But the truth is that when I got saved, and just like when you got saved, the fullness of the Holy Spirit dwells in you. So the fullness of God's power already dwells in you. But the problem is that sometimes we don't press in enough. We don't stare the gift as we ought to, so that power does not come out, right? So once again, I want to build your faith this morning because we do have to pray, right? So Acts 1:8 says, and this is just my paraphrase, but if we have the Holy Spirit, we have the power of God, right? Matthew 18 verse 20 says this, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So once again, when we come to this place called the church and we are gathered in his name, we have to believe that Christ is here. We have to believe that the Holy Spirit is here. We have to believe that the power of God is here, because if we don't, we are simply just trying to check this thing off our list and go about our day, right? And what is the point of coming to Christ and not being transformed? What is the point of coming here and going back the same way that you left? But the truth is this, guys. It's possible for us to gather here Sunday after Sunday and be unaware of the guest who is in our midst, the power of the Lord. You know? So my question is, how does that happen? And as I just said, sometimes we're fine just coming to church. Sometimes we don't come expecting. See, Pastor Lincoln said this last Sunday, that we must come expecting when we come to church. Don't just come expecting to hear a good word. Yes, that's a part of it, but come expecting to meet Jesus. Come expecting to actually be changed. Come expecting to be healed. Come expecting to actually be transformed, right? So the next verse in Luke 5 says this. So once again, homecoming of Jesus. He's back in his hometown. Friends, family, Pharisees, and scribes are all there, right? And the house is packed. I mean, it's packed to the brim. Even standing room is packed. Door is packed, right? And verse 8 says this, and behold, some men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. So these men did not come for the homecoming. They didn't come to hear a great sermon. They came with a problem and a purpose. They came to lay their burden before him, right? So they actually came to actually see Jesus. Many people just came to hear from him. Many people just came to welcome him home, but they came with a problem and a purpose. And what did I say just maybe like 5 minutes ago? that the power of the Lord also came with a purpose. So the power of the Lord came with a purpose to heal them. These men came with a purpose as well to be healed, right? So as you can see, the power of the Lord, the purpose matched their purpose as well. But oftentimes, sadly, I know I've been here. We come to church and what God wants to do does not match what we want to do, right? And there's a clash, and then we move in the flesh and we miss God, right? So why are you here this morning? What are you expecting? Like, look, guys, I'm not the best speaker in the world. So if you came and hear me speak, I mean, you could be doing way better things than this, right? So why are we here this morning? Are you expecting the power of the Lord? Did you come with a burden, with something to lay before Jesus? Or are you just here to, you know, see the show and say hi to the people that you see every single Sunday? So the question now is, how do they get to Jesus? They've come to the house. We've come to church, right? There are people standing in the way. How do they get to Jesus? You've come to church. We've worshiped. Somebody is on stage preaching, but how do you get to Jesus, right? And the mental picture, well, you know, first, let me read the scripture, and then I'll show you what the Lord showed me. So verse 19 says this, and since they could not find, and when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, because of the Pharisees and the scribes, they went up onto the housetop and let him down with his bed through the roof into the midst before Jesus. So the picture that the Lord gave me is this, right? You have Pharisees, scribes, pastors, ministers, evangelists, men of God, women of God, all in the way. And you have these people who have a burden, and they're trying to get to Jesus, but religion is in the way. So how do I get past religion to the one I'm actually here for, right? So what did they do? They went up. They moved past religion. They moved past the ways of men. They jumped onto somebody's house, not even caring if that person would even mind, and laid their friend at the feet of Jesus. And we see that all throughout scripture, that is often what happens. If you truly want to move the hand of Jesus, you must move in faith. The woman with the issue of blood, right? If you are unclean, you don't touch people. If you are unclean, you don't sit down on a chair. If you are unclean, you don't even look at anybody in any way that might make them think that you might want to touch them. Let alone if you're a woman, you don't touch a man, right? So she broke through every single rule and law that she should have obeyed just to touch Jesus. The woman at the well, right? She was a woman from a different tribe. Someone who Jesus, let's be real, called a dog, right? She was a Samaritan woman, and she was talking to a Jewish man by herself at the well, even though she had a history of having 5 or 6 husbands, right? So nothing was right about that. But yet, she broke through religion to get to Jesus. So this morning, what am I saying? Look, man, that thing that you've been carrying, right? You carried it all the way to church. See, it's funny because, you know, I recently just started preaching on stage, and it's a different view, right? So, you know, usually I'm in the back, you know, doing lights and screens. And but seeing you guys' faces, I'm going to tell you guys something. Sometimes I can see the burdens that people come in here with. Worship is going on, and some of us are just like this. Like some trial, some burden, something has our mind, right? And we are meant to be in the presence of the Lord, but we can't shake, we can't move, we can't speak, no words, right? So once again, being on this side I can see just a little bit more. So my question is, that issue that you've been carrying, that burden, that thing that's been weighing you down, you brought it to church this morning. Why not just go up? Why not just actually come a little bit further this morning and lay it at the feet of Jesus? Because look, guys, going up is hard work, all right? But sometimes to bring something down from the Lord, you must first go up. You must first go up, right? The commandments were given on top of a mountain, right? Now we know this, right? Jesus is all knowing. God is all knowing, right? So God could have given Moses those laws on the ground. But there's something about going up to get it for yourself, right? Right? So when Jesus called the 12, he called them up to the mountain as well and then sent them down, right? So once again, to sometimes bring something down, we must first go up. So, and this is what faith actually looks like, right? Because oftentimes we hear folks saying, hey, have faith, brother, be still and know that, you know, he's God and God will do it. Have faith. But the truth is that even, I believe it was, James that says, hey, faith without works is dead. And show me your faith and I'll show you my works, right? So I believe that the Holy Spirit laid this definition of faith on my heart. And it goes like this. When what you have heard has raised your expectation to the point that your actions begin to demonstrate that you actually believe what you've heard. Where your actions actually show that you actually believe what you heard. Because many times we claim we have faith, but the actions don't show. See, these men came not just to hear a good sermon. They came to lay their friend at the foot of Jesus, no matter what they had to do, no matter what had to happen. They had one goal. They had one purpose, to lay their friend at the foot of Jesus. Whatever happened after that, not on them, right? And you know, sometimes I think that's why we shy away of praying for people, right? Because, you know, look, you're like me, right? You read the scripture and you know that the scripture says, hey, if you go, right, you can lay hands on the sick and the sick will be healed. You can cast out devils and demons and people will walk and be healed. But you're like me, right? You often think that, Lord, what if I lay hands on them and nothing happens? What if I bring this burden to you and lay right here and nothing happens, right? But they did not think like that. Their whole job was, I just have to get this lame man to Jesus. It's his job, not my job, right? If nothing happens, that's on him, right? See, look, if God heals somebody when you pray for them, right, you do not take the praise for it, right? So if they don't get healed, why do we take the shame? If they're not healed, why do we take the shame? Because we think that, oh man, everybody's looking at me now and they're going to think that my God is fake. So let me just kind of pray for them, but not really pray for them, right? So trust me, we are in the same boat, because I sometimes feel that way as well. So that issue you've been carrying this morning, right? You brought it all the way to church. It's been with you all week. You've carried it. You've rubbed his head. You've made sure it looks nice, right? And you brought it to church. So what are you going to do with it this morning? Are you going to take it back home with you? Or are you going to lay at the foot of Jesus? Amen? Amen. So, you know, when prepping for this sermon, you know, it's easy for me as a minister to say, hey, guys, just have faith. Just believe, right? It's easy for the man on stage to tell you guys, hey guys, it's simple. Just have faith, trust God, it's all going to work out. But it takes faith on both sides, right? It takes faith for the speaker of the word to speak these words, but it also takes faith of the listener of the words to hear these words as well. Because once again, Mark 16, verse 17 says, right? And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. they would take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is what Jesus is saying to those that believe. But once again, it takes faith that acts. It takes an act of faith to do these things, because the scripture says that they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Before you lay hands on the sick, they're sick. You lay hands on the sick, they're not sick, but you first have to lay hands. You first have to act, right? So turn with me to Exodus chapter 14, because I was listening to something in the lady shared this scripture, and the Holy Spirit showed this thing to me, and my mind was blown, because it's easy to preach to somebody, say, have faith, guys. Just believe. God's gonna do it. But sometimes, and I've seen it in my life, right? Especially as a Christian, we sometimes lean so far over here and say, hey, just have faith. Don't really do anything. Just have faith. God will just do it all, right? And some of us lean way over here as, yeah, I have faith, but I'm really going to work and trust all my connections, my father, my mother, all the men and people in my life, right? I'm going to say I have faith, but lean on man. But there's a balance to this thing called faith, right? So in Exodus chapter 14, this is the story of course, Moses and the children of Israel, right? They had just left Egypt, and they were at the Red Sea. And of course, as Israel does, as we do, scared, murmuring, complaining. Moses, you brought us out here to die. We could have stayed in Egypt and been good slaves, but you brought us out here to die at the sea, and they're about to get us, and this is the end of us, right? And in Exodus 14, verse 13, and can you put up that graphic for me, please? So check this out. This is Moses speaking in verse 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. That sounds great. Like, wow, yes, God will fight for me. That is awesome. Let me just stand still and do nothing, right? But it says, Moses said to the people. The next verse says what? And the Lord said to Moses. So Moses was saying this to the people, but the Lord was actually saying this to him. Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod, the thing I've given you in your hand, and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Amen. So we see here that Moses is basically saying, hey, guys, don't be afraid. Just have faith. Just believe. Just stand still and see that God is good. And you know, God will do what he has promised. But God is saying, Moses, why are you crying out to me for? See, sometimes, right, look, we can pray for the power of God when the power of God is already there to heal. We can be crying out to God and saying, God, I'm at the, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. This trial is weighing on me. And God is like, but I already told you in the book of James that I make a way out of every temptation. You just have to open your eyes and see it, right? So God is telling us this morning, you have to have an act of faith. Yes, be still and know that he is God. Yes, truly pray and truly believe. But as the Lord said to Moses, tell the children of Israel to go forward. And you, Moses, use what I've put in your hands. Use the skill, use the talent, use your mindset, use the things I've blessed you with, and simply do what I've called you to do. Amen? Amen. So this morning, my heart is for us to pray, because many of us came in with a burden, with something that we are carrying. Maybe we are the friends that came in with the burden, and we are trying to find a way to lay that thing in front of Jesus. Or maybe we're like the children of Israel. We are at a standstill because we know what we need to do, but we don't know how to do it. And we see that the enemy is gaining ground, right? So now is the time to act. And it's easy for me to say, hey guys, just have faith. But the Lord has clearly shown here that we have to not just have faith, but have an act of faith. So what is your issue this morning? Are you ready to lay that dead weight you've been carrying around for so long before God? Or do you plan to take that thing back home with you? I mean, like, why not take one more step and say, Lord, this is my act of faith. I am laying this thing at your feet. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what religious hoops I might need to walk past or go over. It doesn't matter if nothing happens to me when I pray this morning. I'm stepping out on faith and trusting you because your word is true. Your word is sure. It's not about what the person on stage is saying, but it's about my faith that is latched on to you. So this morning, as I close, as I round up, I just want you to just search your own heart. What did you come in with this morning? I simply just want us to have a moment of prayer. And if you feel free, you can join me at the altar here. But if you came in with anything, any burden, any trial, anything that has been robbing you of the peace that you should have with God, anything that has made you feel less than, anything that has weighed on you so much that you can't often worship, smile, be as happy as you ought to be, I just want to take a moment this morning and just pray. You know what the Lord is laying on your heart. So the altar is open. If you want to lay before God this morning, you are more than welcome to come down. And I'll just pray over the people and just trust that God will do what he does best. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you because you are a God who has already given us the power. The power to heal is here this morning. And you have brought it, Father. It is not me. It is not anything I've said or did, Lord. But Father, by faith, we connect with you this morning. By faith, we say that we are thankful for the power that is here, Lord Jesus. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge the power of the Lord in this room right now. And Father, we ask that you begin to heal our hearts, Lord. Heal our minds, Father. Heal our bodies, Father. Father, you know what we are going through, Lord. You know the tears that we cry, Father. You know, Father, what we are praying for. You know what we are seeking you for, Lord. So Father, we ask, Lord, Father, give us faith, Lord. Give us faith, Lord. Not a faith that just says, yes, God will do it, but a faith that says, Lord, open my eyes so I can see and move in faith and act in faith. Lord, we are here to lay that burden down right now, Father. So whether it is a sickness, whether it is doubt, whether it is fear, whether it is shame, whether it is lust, whether it is drugs, Father, whatever it is, Father, we speak to that thing right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask for deliverance. We believe, Father, that you are able to do all things, Lord. So, Father, we lay down these burdens right now, Father, and we know that you are able, Lord. Father, we trust you. You are a good God. You know what we need before we even ask or pray, Father. So begin to touch their hearts, Lord. Begin to touch their minds, Lord. Begin to strengthen them, Father. Begin to transform them, Lord. Begin to make them new, Father. As they go home, Father, let their mind be stayed on you, Lord. Let them begin to see you, Father, in a new light, Lord. Let them begin to see these trials, Father, in a new light, Lord. Because, Father, these trials are here, Lord, to make them strong. But these trials are also to bring you glory, Father. So, Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for healing, for deliverance, for freedom. Because strongholds are coming down, Lord, as we lift up your name this morning. So Father, once again, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because your power is here, because your power is moving, because your power is working, Father. Your power is working, Lord. Your power is working, Father. We trust you by faith. We know, Lord, that your power is here, Father, because your scripture says it, Lord. Your scripture says it, Lord. It's not what we think, Father. It's what you said, Lord. And Father, we are giving your scripture back to you, Father, because your word says, oh Lord, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Father, that we're two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, you are there. So, Father, we know that you are here, Lord. We are not guessing, Lord. We are not saying, well, maybe no. No, Father, we know you are here. We know your presence is here. So, Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for a touch of heaven. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your power, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, help our hearts, Lord, to come expecting, Lord, to come expecting, Lord, that you can heal, that you can touch, that you can do mighty works, Father. No hands have to be laid, Father. You know what we need, Lord. You know what we need, Lord. And just like the children of Israel, Father, you go before us, Father, into every battle. Lord, there is no trial, Lord, that you do not go before us. So, Father, we thank you for your presence, for the power that is here, Lord. We honor you, Lord Jesus, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. 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 Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this moment. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We honor you because you alone know what we need. You alone know what we need, Father. And before anybody did anything, said anything, or prayed, the power of the Lord was there to heal them. So, Father, you know what we need, Lord. So as we leave here, Father, let your power go with us, Lord. Help us to believe that you are with us, Father. Help us not to think that we only touch you when we come to church, Lord, but help us to know that we carry the very fullness of God in us, Father. And we just simply have to take time and stare at that water and stare at that gift, knowing that you can and will do all things. So, Father, once again, we just bless your name. We honor you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. God is good. That is what we came for. We came for a touch of heaven. We came to hear what the Lord would say to us. And so I hope that those that came to the altar were blessed and that you heard what the Lord had for you. And if you're believing in the Lord for healing, if you're believing in him for financial reasons or whatever it is that you're going through, just trust and have faith that he's going to do it. All he has to do is speak a word. That's it. And he's got all power in his hands to do whatever it is that you need. Amen. Well, again, we do thank you so much for being out with us this morning. If you haven't had a chance to give, we always need your help. So please give your tithe and your offering. There will be no Bible study this coming Wednesday. And then the following Wednesday will be our laity service. So come out and join us for that. So thank you so much for being with us this morning, and you are dismissed.